Dear friends in Jesus Christ, when we face a test of any kind, it's easy to say that we have the answers. Or it's easy to say, oh, I have the physical ability, I'll be able to pass that test. Or whatever the test might be requiring, it's easy to say we can do it, but the answer as to whether we can or not comes to light in the passing of the test. So it's easy to say something, much harder to go through the process and to show, yes, I can truly pass the test. Today we focus on Abraham's huge, huge test. Let's get right into the text. We're in Genesis chapter 22, and the Bible says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.'" When we think about the command, it was so huge, it was really so horrible. So God told him to take his son, his only son, the one born to Sarah, the one who is his promised heir. He said, take that particular son, go to a particular place, kill that son of yours, and then burn him. Isn't that a horrible thing for God to tell Abraham to do? What if God gave you a similar type of command? How would you respond to that? It's so amazing how Abraham responded, but how would we respond, though? Well, going further here, we come to the topic of trust. Going back to our text, picking up in verse 3, the Bible says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to the young man, 'Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship, and we will return to you.'" Did you hear what Abraham just said there? He said, both of us are going to go over there and worship, and then both of us are going to come back. Well, doesn't Abraham understand the command? By all means, he does, but he also understands that the Lord had promised him that through Isaac, who is your promised descendant, I'm going to give you more descendants, and they're going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. So what did Abraham understand? He understood that some way or another, Isaac must live. So Abraham is thinking, I'm going to follow the command of God. I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to burn him. However, though, I'm confident that God will make him alive again because he has to be alive in order to have descendants so I can have the descendants that God promised as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham was so confident in that promise of God that he knew that even him killing his son would not cancel that promise. Isn't that trust? Wow. What about us? The Bible is filled with so many promises. When we come to a promise, do we have that kind of confidence in that promise? Or are we thinking, ooh, that's a big one. Is God actually going to do that? Are we uncertain or are we sure? Yes, God said it, no matter how impossible it seems. God is almighty. God can do it. God is holy. He must do it. I'm completely confident he will follow through according to his timing, according to his will. That's the kind of confidence God wants us to have. I think that's the kind of confidence that Abraham had in our great God. Going on now to the topic of God providing. we pick up in verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Well, saying, "God will provide." So to say it, that's pretty easy. To believe it is a little bit more difficult. But here's the one that's quite difficult, though. To firmly believe that God will provide when he has not yet provided, and to believe it so thoroughly to the extent that you can be in total peace between now not having it and the time that God provides it. Think about that. It's so easy to become anxious when we don't have it, and yet we know, oh, God will provide. We know that, but yet we don't have it, and are we concerned about that? God is saying, "I know everything, I know exactly what you need, and when you need it, I will provide it." Do we have it beforehand necessarily? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. God is saying, when the moment comes, I will provide. Trust in me, don't worry, don't be anxious. How do we get there though? Maybe right now we're like, okay, God, I know you have said that you will provide, but you haven't done it yet, and I am concerned. How do we get there? I believe we have to take baby steps to get there. It's hard to take huge steps in life sometimes, but to take baby steps, what do I mean? So we learn the Word of God a little bit, and then upon learning it, we put it into practice a little bit. And the more that we learn it, and the more that we put it into practice, God is going to bless us. But what we have to be so careful, though, is when we're doing that, even when the Word of God disagrees with our human reason, we do it anyway. See, our human reason ends up ruining the promises of God, ends up ruining the Word of God. Think about your favorite beverage. And if you put it into a tall glass, and you only put a little bit in the bottom, you could drink that much of that beverage and it would taste good. You would enjoy it. But what if after putting that small amount in the bottom of the glass, then you added, let's say, this much water on top of it? Oh, now it's half diluted with water. But what if you kept adding and adding and adding and adding? By the time you got to the top, you would say, just pour that down the drain. It's no good anymore. It's so diluted. Can that happen with the promises of God? Can we dilute them with our human reason to the point where they are so messed up and worthless that we don't even pay any attention to them anymore? I think that can happen. For Abraham, he didn't do that. He didn't dilute the command of God at all. He didn't mix in his human reason. He simply did it. He did it without hesitating. It's amazing. When God gave him the command, he didn't say, "Ooh, that's a big one, God. Let me think about that for a while. Let's talk it over. Let me reason this out." God gave him the command one day, and very early the next morning, he's on his way to follow that command. It's so amazing. Let's go on here to Abraham passing the test. The Bible says, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham!' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" from God's initial command to Abraham all the way to the raising of the knife ready to come down for the final stroke of the command. Did Abraham ever question God? It seems that he didn't. There's no hint I can find in the Bible that he questioned God at all. God simply gave the command and he was following it. So all the way, Abraham moved obediently, Abraham moved quickly. I think this is important. We could say that Abraham's focus was completely on God's will and not on his own will, not on his own reason. The key passage in the Bible on that, it had not yet been written at the time of Abraham, obviously, but that would be a familiar passage to us, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. That's exactly what Abraham did. He was completely trusting in the Lord. The command didn't make sense. Maybe he didn't like it, but because it's coming from God, he knew it was a good command, and he knew he could follow it with confidence, and he did, even though it made no sense at all to him. What happened at the final moment? Right before he brought down the knife, the angel of the Lord spoke to him. Who is the angel of the Lord? That is the very Son of God. And he told Abraham, stop, and he did. Remember now, this was a test. Did God ever intend for Abraham to go all the way through with this, to kill his son and to burn his son? He did not. But yet, God didn't tell him that, so it was a test, though. But what was the idea? Abraham was to go either all the way to completion or until God told him to stop. Think about it like this, because God is the one who told him to go. Only God could rightly tell him to stop. Does that make sense? So if Abraham would have said, God, you said go, but I'm going to put up the stop sign, that would have been disobedience, because God told him to go. He did, and he kept going and going and going until God finally told him to stop. That's how God wants us to be as well. What about God's provision? Going on in verse 13, it says, then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is to this day. In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. So we have something real important here. In the place of Isaac, the Lord provided a ram. So that spared the physical life of Isaac. In the place of us, the Lord has promised his own son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that spared us eternally. That spared us from being apart from God forever. That spared us from eternal punishment. So as God provided the ram, so God provided his son. And through his son, what is the amazing thing? Though we are poor, miserable sinners, through Jesus Christ, God sees us to be sinless. God sees us to be his holy children. Let us know that God will always provide. As he did so with the ram and with his son, he will always provide. So what should we do as we go through our lives? We are called to look to God, to trust in God, and to be at peace. Finally, we come to the topic of blessing here at the end. The final part of the reading, it says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seeds shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So we had blessed words come from God and also blessed actions. So those things came upon Abraham and then they came through Abraham. What is the most important thing to come through Abraham? That would be our Lord Jesus Christ. When God called Abraham, he said, through you, I'm going to bless the entire world. That is because our Savior is a descendant of Abraham. Let's touch on one final thing here real quick at the end. So go back to Genesis 15, and we see God declaring Abraham to be righteous because of his faith. See, some people, if they don't connect this in, they're going to look at chapter 22 and say, oh, he was obedient, and that's how he won God's favor because of his obedience. By no means. God declared him to be righteous by faith in chapter 15. Now in chapter 22, we see his obedience. What is that showing us? That is showing us that his faith is legit because it was followed with his obedience. So his obedience came from his faith. It's important that we see it that way. Some people think, oh, if I do good enough, somehow God's going to smile upon me. Well, by no means. God has to give us that gift of faith, and even before he does that, he shows us that we are sinners. We are helpless. We can't fix it. We can't save ourselves. So knowing of that helplessness, then God gives us that gift of faith by which we are trusting in his Son and all he did to take away our sins. And then resulting from that, now we are walking by faith. And to walk by faith means we are seeking to know and seeking to follow the will of our great God. May God help us to rejoice. We are forgiven. We are heaven bound. And between now and then, may we better know and boldly and obediently follow the commands of our great God, knowing they are best. Let me conclude like this. So you might recall that last week, you got a sheet like this, and on one side it had information about Ash Wednesday, on the other side, information about today. So actually, later on, I'll mention the insert from today, and that applies to this Wednesday and also to next Saturday and Sunday. But the one for today, though, I'm asking you to identify something true, something relevant, something inspiring that we have in today's sermon. So these are the things I came up with, and you don't have to have the same, but I hope you go through the exercise with each service. So what about the truth? Well, the truth I came up with is that God's commands are best even when they are difficult. God's commands are best even when they are difficult. What about relevance? Well, I better know from the text that God will provide, maybe not in advance, but God will provide what I need when I need it. Therefore, I don't need to worry or be anxious about anything. God will provide what I need when I need it. And also, too, a little bit of inspiration that would be regarding obedience. So I'm inspired now, thinking about Abraham, I'm inspired to obey God in a better way and not mix in my human reason into his commands. May God encourage you in a number of ways, too. Maybe pick up the ways that I came up with if you don't have your own today, and I hope in the future you have your own. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to embrace the times when you test us in our lives. They are not easy, but they are for our good. We can think of the phrase, no pain, no gain. So you want to strengthen us. You want to build us up. So when the tests come, help us to be obedient to your commands. Help us to not mix in human reason. And help us to grow in our trust in you. And help us to grow in bringing you glory in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.